Well, it's always a privilege to come here and speak to this congregation. And it's a humbling thing to get up and share God's Word. And I just wanted to mention, before I really get started here, the boundaries that Pastor Bob is going to be doing starting next week. I would really, really encourage everyone to come to that, because the message that I'm hoping to bring to you today is similar to what it's going to be about, you know. So, but I, you know, every time I come out here, I knew I was going to be coming a long time before I knew I was going to be preaching, but I knew I'd be preaching. And it's interesting how God always gives me something before I even begin to leave. I have an echo. Okay. This message is, and of course, God, in His way that He works with me, He wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I go to bed at 10:30 or 11, and He wakes me up at 12 to give me something. And it's interesting. I came out here, and I want to share a little bit. I came out here and realized that where I was staying, I didn't have the internet. And, you know, the internet's important, right? I mean, especially if you want to do some research or look at some things. And so I was looking into, well, how do I get the internet? And I was looking into the cost and everything. And before I left Minnesota, I'm on this plan with Sprint for a cell phone. And so I decided I'm going to get a new cell phone. Right? Everybody understands cell phones. How many in here got cell phones? Right? Most of you. Some of you young kids don't, but some of you young kids know more about this phone than I do. Well, I bought this phone. I upgraded, actually, because it has a hotspot on it. How many of you know what a hotspot is? Oh, some of you do. Well, let me tell you what that is. That is, my cell phone can work like a router. So I can turn on the hotspot, and I can use my computer with it. It acts as a router. So it was like, okay, do I spend the money to have internet moved in, or do I? And so I got the cell phone. And Pastor Bob and I, we went, and I learned how to turn on the hotspot. I didn't learn how to answer the phone. I mean, it was like the phone rings, and I'm going, well, I couldn't answer the phone, so people would call, and I'd have to call them back. And then one of the kids, I'm not sure, I think it was Leanne, you know, the phone rings, and I said, well, I'm going to have to call them back. She said, well, no, Pastor Dave, all you got to do is go like this. Oh, okay. Simple, right? Simple. But, you know, and the thing does much more than that. It does a lot of different things. And there's even an instruction book with it, you see, right here. And it comes in this fancy little thing. You know, it's got instructions. And of course, you got to be young to read it because it's so small, right? So here I have this cell phone, and it's not doing all that I want. And mostly because I don't know what all I want it to do. I don't know anything about it. It's a tool. It's an instrument. And, you know, we get all kinds of instructions with all kinds of things. You know, we buy a new bicycle, and there's an instruction on how to put it together. Leanne's going to be getting her driver's license here pretty soon, and she's taking driving instructions. So we have all kinds of instruction on how to do things. And there's all kinds of things that I can do with this. Do you know I hated the text? Hated the text because my thumbs are so big. And here's my old phone right here. And I never text. But do you know that with this cell phone, all I have to do if I want to text, I text my grandson one day. I said, hey, Si, what's up? And that's all I had to do is speak into it. That was it. I mean, it does so much. And we get all kinds of instructions. We go to school to learn. We read. We do all kinds of things, but you know what? We don't get an instruction book on how to live. Babies are born. We don't get an instruction book with it. We don't. And we think there's no instruction book or no instructions on how to live this life. But there is. There is. It's just that we ignore it. It's this one right here. It's God's text. God texted us right here. Said, this is how I think you should live. And we go. Instructions before we leave Earth, text says. So there it is. But, you know, we treat the Bible like the instruction books that I got with this. I took the instructions that I needed that fit me for the time, and I wasn't willing to do anything else. And I can't do any more with this unless I go and get instruction on it. So my use of this cell phone will be limited. Just like your use with this will be limited if you don't use it. If you don't use it. And a lot of times, you know, when I came out here, this was like, this is good enough. I don't need anything else. Right? And sometimes we take a passage from the Bible and it's like, well, that's good enough. I don't need anything else. As an example, I'd just like to ask all of you here, how many of you can quote John 3:16? Just raise your hands. It's not a test. Wow, look at that. Quite a few of you. Well, John 3:16 says this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. All right, now, of all those that raised your hand, how many of you can quote the next verse? A few of you. But that's what happens in the Bible with our instruction book to life. We take a little bit of it, and then we don't do any more. Because it fits the moment. It fits the moment. So, with that, let me pray for us real quick before I get into the meat of what I want to say today. Okay? Our Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we lift you up, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord. And you said that when you left, you said that where three or more were gathered, Lord, that you would be here with us. Lord, I invite you to be here with us, Lord. I invite your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, to be here. That it be your lips that speak and your ears that hear, Lord, that your Spirit would convict those who need conviction, Lord. That your Spirit would hear your word, Lord. Not what's coming out of me, but what's coming from you, Lord. The things that we have to do in our life to begin to have a good life, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And that's the title of today's sermon, Good Life. It's a choice. It's a choice. We get to make the choice. Isn't that something? The Creator of the world put us here, and he gives us a choice. And what that choice is interesting. I'd like to talk about a child that was born on July 30th, 1947, at about 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon. A brand new baby. A brand new parent. We had no idea that there was an instruction book for life. Your instruction book for life was the world. Your instruction book was the world. And as we grow up, we learn to raise kids by the way we were raised. We don't look at the instruction book. An example of that, I have to share this because it was kind of funny, and then I'm going to get on to the rest of it. But every Sunday morning, I go and I pick up the Mets kids. And Leanne is driving, so I put the top down on the convertible and we go over to the donut shop and we buy some donuts. And we come back and everybody enjoys them. And Leanne always says, well, how did I do, Pastor Dave? Am I making a mistake, Pastor Dave? And I, yeah, no, you're doing good. You're doing good. And this morning, we're coming up to the stoplight. And it's green. And we're about a block away, and she starts to pick up a little speed to make the stoplight. Well, she didn't have to pick up the speed. And so later on, I said to her, I said, well, yeah, you really did good, but how come you had to hurry up and get to the stoplight to get me past the bottom? She says, well, that's what my dad does. I thought, wow, what an example. What an example. You know, we don't think our kids pay attention to us sometimes, but they do. And Miss Lisa's going, all right, Pastor Bob's getting it. Yeah. But I just found that to be interesting. But Leanne enjoys driving. I enjoy having her do it. But that young man that was born on July 30th at 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon was me. It's me. I didn't know this till this week. But my mother almost died having it. I didn't know that. She wasn't even awake for the delivery because she went into convulsions and she blacked out. So she wasn't there. She didn't get to see me for a day. I did not know that. I did not know that. So my parents, they were trying to decide whether or not to have any more children. And the doctor said, no, that won't happen again. And so I have three brothers and a sister. But I hear my aunts talk and my family talk about, oh, I was such a cute little baby. I was such a cute little kid. You know, and isn't that how we treat babies? Oh, they're so cute. But aren't they demanding? Aren't they selfish? Aren't they self-centered? I'm hungry and I want to eat. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You've worked all day. Hey, my pants are dirty. I need them changed. Come on, get on my bandwagon here. That's how we come out. And you know what? That's how we continue to live our lives. Is demanding. And we don't know. We don't know any difference because we don't have. When I was growing up, I didn't have a book of life on how to live. My parents didn't. I am a first generation Christian. I am a first generation Christian. And I want to share a little bit about my life with you today. But before I do that, I want to read a scripture to you. I think Pastor Bob's going to put it up on the screen for me. I don't use these kinds of notes and stuff, so he's assisting me. This is my life. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft and hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I was on my way to hell. I didn't know. I didn't have an instruction book. This is the life that I chose. Because you know, it's interesting how God puts Christians in your life all through your life. And you look at them and you go, huh, what's different about them? What is that? Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town. It was a Dutch community and they had a Christian Reformed church. And I remember people talking about those, all those Christians. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what they said. That's what I would hear from my dad. The only time I ever heard God's name spoken was in vain. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the detail about my father and my mother, other than, you know, a little bit, because it's not important. It's not important. My father was physical. He would beat on us. He was a drunk. He was a womanizer. Wow. I was a drunk. I was a womanizer. Wow. I knew the beatings were wrong. So I didn't beat my kid. I didn't beat my wife. But I was indifferent. I didn't take an interest. I didn't take him to church. I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a husband. Because I grew up and I learned from the world. I didn't learn from this. You folks here today have an opportunity to learn how to be a Christian in this world, how to raise your kids, how to be a parent, how to be a brother, how to be a sister. You have that opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Come to church. Go to Bible studies. Come to the boundaries. Come to that. Because this is what's going to tell you how to live your life. From my childhood, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't wait to leave, so I quit school. Joined the Marine Corps. In 1965. I never heard of Vietnam. I had no idea there was any other world out there except for the little town that I grew up in and my little gang of people. And when something would happen in town, they would come and look for me and my friends, because that's how we live. And I had a choice. I chose the wrong friends. I chose to do the wrong things. I joined the Marine Corps and I went to Vietnam at age 18. I had my first encounter with God there, my first real encounter with God, and it was not a good one. Because I was mad at Him. Because of what happened to my friends. Because of what happened, the ones that died, the ones that got shot up. I didn't understand love, and I had hate and anger and vengeance in my blood. And I left Vietnam and I came back here to the United States. And I still had that anger. And I still had that hate. And I still had that need for vengeance. And I met my wife. I met my wife in New York City. And we'd gone out for a few times. And of course, I'm 19 and I know what I want. And I put pressure and I put pressure and we met. And I was drunk the night we met. And I had a date with her the following weekend. She showed up. She says, "Where have you been?" And I said, "Who are you?" What a way to start a relationship, huh? What a way. Well, I finally got what I wanted. And then we quit seeing each other. We had a fight. I wasn't going to take any phone calls from her, and she'd call and she'd call. And I wouldn't take the call. And one day I did, and she was pregnant. And we got married. We had some more kids. I had no idea how to be a father. I had no idea how to be a husband. But I did it. And I was indifferent. I wasn't going to beat on him. Because I remember how that felt, but I was indifferent. I didn't pay attention. I didn't take any interest in what my wife wanted to do. I didn't take any interest in what my kids wanted to do. I was still selfish. And my wife wouldn't, she couldn't satisfy me. Because only God can satisfy us. Only God can satisfy us. And when we look for other people, our wife, our kids, whoever it might be, to satisfy us, we're moving in the wrong direction. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill that place in your heart. Only Jesus. And once Jesus has filled that place in your heart, now someone else that has Jesus filling their place in their heart Now they can come alongside each other and be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right kind of parent. That's my life. My life. I got divorced. Well, before I got divorced, I got sober. I ended up in treatment. And I was in treatment. I got out of treatment. I was out of treatment for over a year. Couldn't find a job. Couldn't keep a job. It was an awful, awful experience. It was easier to be drunk. I was going to Alcoholics Anonymous every day of the week. I was meeting my sponsor two or three times a week. I couldn't keep a job. I was a wreck. And one of the probably 20 times my wife kicked me out of the house, she kicked me out again. And I was living in this dormer without two nickels to rub together. And they were coming to repossess my car. And the sheriff came and gave me a restraining order from going to my house. And I couldn't do anything with my kid. So I was selfish. But one day, I had another encounter with God. Hey, Lord, you know what? I'm going to go get your instruction book. First time I ever picked up this book was that day. I went to Walmart and I bought a King James Bible. And I took it home and I opened it up to Genesis and put it down. And I was so emotionally distraught, I collapsed on the floor in my room. And I don't remember what happened, but I didn't wake up until the next day. It was like, what is going on? What is going on? I still wasn't broken enough to come to God. I wasn't broken enough yet. My family was gone, which I was indifferent about. Didn't even have a girlfriend then. I mean, it was a miserable, miserable life. And thank God that God had put Christians in my life during that time period. And you know what? They were my book. They were the ones that I looked at. They were the ones that I thought, how come I don't have that? But yet, I didn't pay attention. I thought having them hanging around me was good enough. That's that little bit. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I can, I got the hot spot. And now I know how to answer the phone. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. I got Christians hanging around me. What else do I need? They're praying for me. They'll keep me intact, but I don't want to hear any of that Jesus stuff. I don't want to hear any of that born-again stuff. Don't give me that nonsense. I just want this little part that I can go to and feel good once in a while. And then I can go back to living the worldly life. You see, that was my choice. It was my choice. It wasn't my parents' choice because they taught me wrong. It wasn't the world's choice because that's who I looked at. It was my choice to look at the world. It was my choice to behave like I behave. Finally, one day, a friend of mine who I used to drink with, who helped me get sober, came to the Lord in a roundabout way, invited me to church. For 2 years, he invited me to church. For 2 years, I made excuses. For 2 years, I said yes and didn't show up. For 2 years, I told him I didn't want to hear about it anymore. And one day, I had had a girlfriend at that time, and we had broke up. And I was kind of indifferent about that, too. But it did trouble me. And he said, hey, you want to go to church? Okay. I never encountered God that day. It was not an altar call. It wasn't anything great. I can't think who it is that has a song. He says, you ain't got to jump no pews, no chills go up and down your spine to know that you're born again. And I don't know if I was born again at that time, But the preacher was preaching out of the Bible. I can't even tell you what he was saying. But I can tell you this, as he was preaching, it was like, what's the deal with that? That's not supposed to make sense. Why would that make sense to me? It's because God was calling me. And God's been calling me all my life. I never realized it until I came to it. And he's calling you. And he's calling you. Well, now, my life is different. My life is... You can get my new one up there, Pastor Bob. This is my life now. You all read that other part with me. Does that other life, does that even remotely seem like me? Can you even imagine that I used to go pick a fight just to pick a fight? Can you imagine that I was that selfish? That I had envy, jealousy, and all those things. This is my life today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control! Self-control! Hallelujah! I don't have to submit to the world anymore. I can make a choice. I get to make a choice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Against such things, there is no law. You see, there is no law. I can go get drunk and get picked up like the guy in the news 3 times in one day or in a week or something. Yeah, I don't have to worry about that with my peace and patience and kindness, my faith, and my self-control. I can do that. And nobody's going to come against me because of it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. You know, we can do that as Christians. We can do that. What a contrast in life, huh? Is that a contrast? Amen. Pastor Bob says, can I hear an amen? I never do that. Can I hear an amen? All right. It's a contrast. And it's a choice that I get to make. Because Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now, how do we get there? Anybody else like to have this life? Huh? Amen. We'd like to have it. Well, you can have it. It's yours. For free. Ain't gonna cost you a dime. Like it used to cost me to go to the bars and drink, or when I went to go get dope, I had to pay money for it all. But God gives you this life for nothing. Didn't cost you nothing. It cost him something, didn't it? Cost him something. And that's what I want to talk about. How do you get this life? I can't find my notes here. How do you get this life? Well, you get it through forgiveness. And the first forgiveness, I lost the sheet of my paper, but that's okay. Because I know what God wants me to tell you. To go from the life of sin, to go from the life of the sinful nature, to go to the life of the Spirit, first thing you have to do is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? Okay. That's easy to say. It says in the Bible, speak this and you'll be saved. But you know what? Let me ask you this. I want to ask this question. And you have some notes there and you can look at them. But and it says, have you accepted God's forgiveness? There's a difference, you know, between asking for it and accepting it. There's a difference. My life, my lifestyle, and you have to choose, my lifestyle, the number of people that I hurt in my life through my adultery, through my drunkenness, through my fights. You know, I'll show you one. I was involved in a stabbing once. Yeah, can you imagine Pastor Dave being involved in something like that? How horrible. How horrible. When we live that sinful nature, we have to accept God's forgiveness. We have to ask for it. And I'm going to ask you again. I want you to think about it. I want you to write it down. I want you to be thinking about this, because later I'm going to ask you to come up and pray. Have you accepted His forgiveness? Have you let it go? Are you able to say, all right, Lord, You died on the cross. That's why You came here, to hang on that cross for me, so that my sins will be forgiven. Now, if you don't accept that forgiveness, you're telling Him that He hung there in vain. He did that for you. God paid that price for you and for me. I could not be living the life that I'm living now had I not accepted the forgiveness that God gave me for free. That God paid the price for. The gift that He gave me. Have you received that gift? Have you accepted His forgiveness? And the reason I'm beating this so much is because it's so important for the next two things. And the next thing is, have you forgiven people that God has asked you to forgive? As miserable as my life was, there were people that hurt me that I had to forgive. My father. My father was dead. And I had to forgive him. I had to forgive him. Because if I didn't forgive him, I couldn't move on. If I didn't forgive him and let go of the bitterness, I couldn't move on with the Lord. I couldn't go where the Lord wanted me to go. I couldn't do it without forgiving Him. The people in Vietnam that killed my friends, I hated them. The news media, I hated them. I hated this government. I hated the things that I had to go through when I came back. I hated it. And I wanted vengeance. But until I forgave them, before I let go of it, I could not move forward. I could not move to God's life, the life that He wanted me to have with the fruits of the Spirit. I couldn't do that. You can't do that. If you have something in your heart, a bitterness in your heart towards someone that you have not forgiven, you cannot move on until you give that up. You have to give it up. Because if you don't, it changes you. It keeps you in the past. It haunts you. And the worst thing is we have no control over it. Because it happened. It happened. And you need to forgive it. You need to let it go. The Scripture says, Peter came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? How many times do I have to forgive them for doing the same stupid thing? How many times do I have to forgive that guy that pulled out in front of me out there on the highway? How many times do I have to do this? But Jesus said this, and Peter said up to seven times he wanted to forgive. He thought, oh, seven times, I'll forgive him seven times, then I'm going to beat the crap out of him. It doesn't work like that. Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. 77 times. It's a lot of times, isn't it? Have you been beat up that many times? I have been. I've been beat up more times than that. But every time I forgive them. Even today I get beat up. And you know what? Today it's easy to forgive. And one of the reasons it's easy for me to forgive is because I accepted the forgiveness that Christ gave me for dying on the cross. If I didn't accept that, how can I do anything else? How can I understand what forgiveness is if I don't accept the forgiveness that God has given me? How can I do that? How can you do that? You have to accept God's forgiveness. And to be set free and to move forward and to move into the life that God wants you to have with the fruits of the Spirit, you have to forgive. You have to give up that bitterness, that jealousy, that anger, that envy, that blaming. You have to give it up. You can't hang on to it because the only person that's killing is you. Only you. Not the person that you're angry with. Not them. It's you. You're affected. The third forgiveness that we need to do. In recovery programs, we call it making amends. You've got to go ask for forgiveness. Go ask for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, please don't let me do that. Please don't make me do that. I don't want to do that because then that's, you know, my pride gets in it. You know, and I mean, how am I going to possibly? I can't do that. He's going, yes, you can. Because I forgave you. You can. You came to us and forgave us. Scripture says in Matthew 5, it says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, and here, in the church, remembers that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Leave it here. Leave it right there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. What's God telling us? He's telling us. We've got to be reconciled. We had to be reconciled with Him. That's why He hung on the cross for us. I believe the choice that we get to make, the sinful nature and the fruits of the Spirit, the good life, is a choice. You can only get there through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to the good life. You know, some people would have looked at my old life and thought, man, that guy's living a life. Look at the women, look at the cars, look at the clothes. Of course, God took all that away. Look at the house, took that away. And look at that. What a life. What a life. What a life of misery. We look outside these walls and we see people. And we go, wow. What a life they got. We don't know what's in their heart. People used to look at me. Oh, what a life. What beautiful kids. What a beautiful wife. Oh, what a life. They didn't know I was miserable. They didn't know that my kids were miserable. They didn't know my wife was miserable. They didn't know that since I got out of the service in 1969 that I've had 29 different jobs. Miserable. My life is miserable. Since I've come to the Lord and I've had the privilege of coming here and doing ministry and watching people grow and watching God make changes in people, never could have happened had I not accepted Christ's forgiveness. It's not about asking for it. You can ask for it, He'll do it. But have you accepted? Have you accepted His love? And you have those notes there. I do a lot with notes, as you notice. And, you know, Pastor Bob, he likes to do a lot of notes, but there are some places to write on that. And I'm hoping that you have. And I'm hoping that right now you'll think about it. Maybe you don't want to write down, but you might write down who you need to go forgive. You might write down. You might be like my dad. My dad was dead. And I had to forgive him. You might wonder how you do that. Well, you do that with the help of the Lord. There might be somebody that you need to go make amends to. There might be somebody out there that you need to leave your gift at the altar right here and go make amends. And go say, I'm sorry. I'm going to have Pastor Bob play a little music here, but before you start, Pastor Bob, I would just like for each to think about if you accepted God's forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to come up and pray. And I'm going to ask a few of the leaders to come up and pray with you. I'm going to stay up here and pray for you while you're all being prayed for. And then later on, we're going to ask that maybe you pray for the leaders in this church. Because you know, just because we're up here in the pulpit, just because we're in leadership positions, doesn't mean that we don't need to forgive. Doesn't mean that we don't take some of the forgiveness back from God that He's offered us. Doesn't mean that because we're up here, that we don't make mistakes, that we don't offend people. I may have offended somebody today. I don't know. But why don't you pray for me to pass God for me? And I'm not going to ask Miss Lisa to come up and sing today, maybe later. Because Miss Lisa needs to pray for too. We all need prayer. So I'm going to ask him at the beat, come up, Gail, and Pastor Bob. You're going to run the soundboard, right? Miss Lisa, you can come up. And if you need prayer, if you're a family, and there's some forgiveness that you need to do in your family, come up as a family and pray with each other. Come on up. Just be here. And so I encourage you right now, if you want the good life, come up and be prayed for. Each of you, I know, has something working in your heart. Each of you, the Holy Spirit has convicted you about something. And I'm telling you, this is the time to do it. This is to come up. If you don't want to pray, if you don't want to share something with one of the prayer warriors up here, come up here and kneel and pray. And sometimes there's things that you don't want to talk about. Sometimes there are things that they're just too personal. And you can't share. So if you have something, please, kids, if you have something that you need prayed for, come up and be prayed for. I had to do that. I had to pray. I had to go and have someone pray for me so I could accept that forgiveness. So I could accept what God had to offer me. If you see a leader in the church that you might feel called to pray for that leader, I would say, go pray for him or her. Because we need prayer as well. We need forgiveness. And I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I just come to you right now, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as we're here, Lord, the Holy Spirit was here. I could feel the Holy Spirit here, Lord. And He is right now. He is convicting someone right here, right now, that needs prayer, Lord. And I would just pray right now, Lord, that You would give that person a little nudge, Lord, that they would come up and they would ask for that forgiveness, Lord. That they would bring it out into Your light, Lord, this thing that is troubling them. The person that they need to forgive. The person that they need to ask for forgiveness for, Lord. Lord, there's someone here too, Lord, that hasn't really accepted Your forgiveness, Lord. And I pray for that person as well, Lord, that person would accept what You did for him on the cross, Lord. Not only ask for forgiveness, Lord, but to actually accept it and receive it, Lord. To receive Your forgiveness is such a wonderful, wonderful thing, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that everyone here that need that can experience that Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are such a wonderful, wonderful God. If we make the choice to have you in our life to do that, Lord. Lord, heal this church, heal these people, Lord. Help us all, Lord. We're going to come closing here in our time. If you need prayer and you want to stay for prayer, I'll be available in a few minutes here. But those of you that need other things, have to do other things, you're dismissed, you can go. If you would like to hear more about Christ's saving grace and how to accept that, please come up and please be prayed with. Please ask questions, so that the Holy Spirit can answer them for you. In Jesus' name, amen.